This is Doug Miller. Is ritual important to a Christian and to the church, or is it not important? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back one more time with this word in hand to send it out with the sure and certain knowledge of what God's promise is. It will not return to him void. I believe you will find it profitable, and we are in the book of Zechariah, and Zechariah 7, if you must. We will begin with the first verse today, and once again, I think you will find it profitable. So come along, bring your Bibles, open up to Zechariah 7, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. You are, after all, the only advertisers we have or are going to have. So we would appreciate your just telling people about us. Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, once again, we require the participation of the support of the Lord's people. Please pray for Dialogue. Write our name down on your prayer list, and I hope you've got one. At least in your mind, if not a physical one, and pray for Dialogue. Take us before the Lord. We cannot function at all without the prayers of the Lord's people, so please pray. And as I always say on here, we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you would like to email us, that's fine, too. We've got one of those little gadgets, and a lot of people don't like to write with pen and ink anymore, but they'll sit down at those computers and keyboards and just type away. So our email address is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you want to look at our webpage, we've got one of those, too. And that can be reached by typing in Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. Finally, if you want to call and talk to me, I'd be happy to talk to you. You will get a recording, and you leave a message, and I will get back with you. Our telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. All right, right into the book of Zechariah now. Interesting thing about this book, as I've been going through it, I had to stop and think, have I ever been in a church meeting in which someone was teaching Zechariah? I don't believe I have. It is not a book that is generally taught, although portions of it are taught from time to time. There are certain portions of it quoted in the New Testament that are frequently brought up and that Christian teachers and preachers like to talk about. But as far as just going through the book from one end to the other, line by line and verse by verse, I don't think I've ever heard it taught. It is an interesting book. It is not easy to teach. Take my word on that. At least it's not easy to teach for me. It is very demanding. And once again, this is why I need your prayers. Now, in chapters 1 up through chapter 6 of Zechariah, you will have noticed by now, I'm sure, that what we have is this Jew, this Jewish Levite, probably, and prophet, who is in the captivity in Babylon, and he is one of the ones that returned to Israel. This is just by way of review. And in the captivity, while he is in Babylon, the word of the Lord came to him. And what we have seen up to now is a dual prophecy, a prophecy about things that are going on or were going on at the very time Zechariah was teaching and preaching, things that concerned Israel in the captivity and what they should be doing and about going back to the land and so forth. And then at times, we have seen Zechariah going far, far off into the distant future and talking about things that exist at the end times, things going on during the Great Tribulation, things going on after the dispersed Israel has come back to the land and been drawn back, things, in other words, that we can in some ways see happening all around us right now. In chapter 7, we get what Vernon McGee calls a brief historical interlude, and I think that's well put. It's almost as if Zechariah has got something to say to Israel, and he does have something to say to Israel. And it's as if, and I'll put it like this, it's as if the people had been listening to him in chapters 1 through 6 and had said to him, well, okay, Zechariah, we hear you. We don't always understand you, but we do hear you. We are God's people, are we not? If they had said that to him, Zechariah would have said, yes, that's exactly what you are. God loves us. And he has his hand on us, and we are chosen of the Lord. All along, ever since we came out of Egypt with Moses, there have been guys like you talking to us like this. And yet we've had troubles all along. We've had problems. Well, Zechariah might say, well, yeah. And, of course, one of your main problems is you don't listen. You don't pay attention. They might have responded, look at the problems that we're having. Look at the trouble that we're in. What should we be doing? And evidently what we're doing is not right. What's wrong with it? Now, that's not what we have said in Zechariah here. I'm kind of reading between the lines. But let's just talk about this a minute. Look at this country that we are living in. Look at your country. Does God love America? Well, yes, God does love America. Does he love America more than he loves France or England or Germany? No, he doesn't. Has America been blessed by the Lord? Yes, it has, very much so. Am I talking to a bunch of people who consider themselves patriotic Americans and who love this country and would love to see this country blessed? Probably. I hope that's who I'm talking to. Because it would be very foolish and painful to think that there are people out there who have no concern about this country. Then let me ask you this. Is this country in trouble? Are we in trouble? Well, I talk to a lot of people as I go through life, and I don't think I've talked to anyone who does not agree that this country is in a lot of trouble. We're in a lot of trouble, and I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who disagrees with that proposition. Well, what's our problem? Exactly what is our problem? Is it political? Is it because we are we don't have the right people in office? Or is it because we've got some good people in office, but those other people in office who don't agree with them are just a bunch of sore heads and won't work with them to try to get these problems taken care of? Is that really what it is? I don't believe any of that. I don't believe that at all. Our problem in this country is spiritual, pure and simple. And if the spiritual aspect is correct, if we are right with God, then so much of the problem we problems we see in America today will right themselves. But the question becomes, how do we get things straightened out? How do we get on the right spiritual path? How do we get in tune? Well, I think in many ways that's what these individuals were talking to Zechariah about. And the Lord, speaking through Zechariah, has some real interesting and important messages for them. This, once again, is a little interlude from what we've been looking at. It does not talk about, it's not way off in the future. It is right here and right now, as the Jews in that day might have said. But it is very important and very relevant to us. Let's read some of this. It came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislew. Now, this day, it's interesting that Zechariah says this. He tells you the exact day. I don't know what he was doing at the time, but I know that this is a specific event that occurred on a specific day, and this is, and he even gives us the day here, and it's, if you want to get it down to our day and date, it's the 10th of December. So it's, you know, not far from the time that we are in right now, the 10th of December. And Zechariah is very careful to tell us this. And it goes on and says that the word of the Lord, when they had sent unto the house of God Sharezer and Regamalech and their men to pray before the Lord or before Yahweh. Now, we need to take a little time on this second verse. The temple is not what's in view here. It looks as if that they sent these men to the house of God. This is not right. The house of God, the temple as such, was not even standing at this time. It had been torn down and wrecked by the Babylonians. And, of course, the tabernacle in the wilderness was not standing at the time. And I'm not sure that the temple is ever called the house of God as such. It may be somewhere in Scripture. I know that Jesus called the temple, Herod's temple, my father's house. So maybe it is. But once again, the temple wasn't even standing at this time. So what could this possibly be talking about? Well, the answer is that this word, the house of the Lord, is really in Hebrew, Bethel. And these individuals either went to Bethel or came from Bethel. And if you look in Scripture, Bethel is that area in Ephraim, which is one of the areas which had fallen utterly under idolatry. And very early on, it's an area that was Israel, not Judah. It's the place where Jacob saw Jacob's ladder and prayed and called it Bethel, the house of God. And it's the place to which Jacob returned when he came back from his exile at the house of Laban, his uncle. And he came back to Bethel. And it was a place very highly revered by many of the Jews. And yet, you look at these men. Look at the names of the men here. From Bethel, or going to Bethel. Their names were Sharezer and Regemalek. These are Babylonian names. And if I were to hazard a guess, I would say that these were Jews of the captivity who had settled down real comfortably in Babylon. They've got Babylonian names, and that's not necessarily unusual. If you read the book of Daniel, you'll know that even Daniel and his three friends were given Babylonian names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel was given the name of Belteshazzar. And once again, it's not unusual at all to see these Jews being given Babylonian names. And yet, in this passage here, they are going to Bethel, and they have a question. They have a question that they are asking here. And this is what it says. And they say this before the Lord of hosts and to the prophets. And they had come to pray. And here is the question. Should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? Interesting question. You might say, well, yeah, I guess, but why? What is it? I ask that the first of this broadcast. How important is ritual? How important is that to you? Some people are in ritualistic churches where the ritual is very much a part of everything that they do. Some of you might say, well, we don't do that so much where I go to church. I'll bet that you do. I'll bet that you do. I have a friend, a Catholic girl, who I say she's a girl. She's at least as old as I am, and I'll guarantee you I'm no spring chicken. And this girl said to me one time, she said, you know, I never did. It upset me very much when they, under John the 21st and Vatican II, when they turned the altar around. That's not what I grew up with, and I didn't like it. Well, that's interesting. For those of you who have never been in a Catholic church or have never been in Mass, particularly in the Masses, as they were said and done before they turned the altar around and the Mass was still being given in Latin, those of you who have not will not understand that in the old days, before John the 21st and before Vatican II, when the priest went through the ritual of the Mass and held up the bread and said, you know, this is the body of Christ and the wine, this is the blood of Christ. His back was to the congregation. And under Vatican II, they turned the altar around so that the priest is now facing the congregation. And I don't know why they did that. Doesn't matter to me at all because it's an utterly meaningless thing to me. But it meant enough to some of these Catholics, including this friend of mine, that they never felt the same about the Catholic Church after that. There are those who never felt the same about the Catholic Church when they took the Mass out of Latin and started saying it in the vernacular. Well, once again, it means absolutely nothing to me. But there are, really, I mean, you think about it, the ritual is very important to a lot of these individuals. If you take out the ritual, they are really upset by it. Now, of course, in the Greek Orthodox Church, they have all of their rituals. How about the Protestant churches? Well, believe me, they have their rituals too. Absolutely. And they sing the doxology, and they, the church that I grew up in, we said the Apostles' Creed and did the Glory Bees and all of that. And it was just a regular service that was done in regular ways, in regular times. And I could have done it with my, I didn't need a book to read to do any of that. I knew it all. It was, it's the way we did it. Now, look, I am no longer in a church that does those things. If you say, well, what church are you in? Well, I'm in a non-denominational group. But that doesn't matter because non-denominationalism itself has sort of become a denomination. And it's kind of difficult to get away from these things. And in the group that I meet with on Lord's Day to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, we have certain things that we do. And they become ritualistic. Now, a lot of my brethren would not like to hear me say that, but they should better face it. It becomes ritualistic, so much so that if people deviate from the ritual and from the way that we do things, it's very upsetting to a lot of people. And they you know, they'll get right in your face over it real quick. Well, the question that these guys have here, we've been weeping for a long time now, and we've been fasting or whatever. They didn't say fasting. I put that in. We've been going through this before the Lord. Should we keep doing it? We've been doing it a long time. And implied in the question is, you know, it's done no good. We're in captivity, you know. We've been carried away captive. Our city has been overrun. The temple's been torn down. Should we keep on at this? And if so, how long? And how much? Now, for those of you who are, you know, you're going to church regularly and you're going through all of the prescribed, you know, rituals, the way you do things, wherever you do them, you have a certain way that you pray and certain hymns that you sing question, should we keep doing this? What's wrong anyway? Let's see what the word of the Lord says here. Let's look back at verse 4. And then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when ye fast and mourn in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat and when ye did drink, did ye not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? Now, look at what God is saying to them. And I think this is very important that we pay attention to this. Why were you doing what you were doing? Why are you doing what you were doing? Are you really doing it for me? Or are you just doing it for yourselves? Are you doing it the way you're doing it because this is the way it's always been done? Or is it me that you have before you? Are you doing this to please me? Now we get down to something very important and very critical here, and it is very searching, and we will not have time to get into it today because we are rapidly running out of time. But we will, Lord willing, take it up next time. How strong is my connection to God, and how much am I really trying to please Him? Think about it. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.